Well, initially, cumbia started as a folkloric genre. So then it had to deal with a national, international process in Colombia. It had to ascend class. It had gone to go from the working class all the way to the upper class. By the time it accomplished that in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it started migrating. And obviously, it went to Mexico. Mexico was the heart of the recording industry for Latin America back then. And it slowly drifted down. It was exported down the Andes, Ecuador, Peru, eventually making it to Argentina.
So did the migration of cumbia follow the migration of people?
No, by no means, by no means. The migration of the music is particularly, it's quite independent from the people. Though Colombia has a tradition of exporting people because of inner political conflict, it's minimal in comparison to what happened to the music. The music was embraced all over.
So listening to Colombian cumbia from like the mid-1900s and then Argentinian cumbia from the early 2000s, these sound so different. So can you explain what unites those two very different sounding types of music?
Well, it depends a lot on the particular theme that you listen to, the melody. Because as I tell you, each country has tweaked it a little bit. I mean, you can listen to something produced by Celso Piña, which is a Mexican accordionist. He's a virtuoso of the accordion in Mexico. And he prides himself on playing Colombian music in a very traditional fashion. Whereas in Argentina, they have taken it in a different direction. It imitates the commercial style of cumbia that became popular in Colombia in the 1970s. That's another thing. You will see that within Colombia itself, cumbia, it mutated. It changed a lot. So depending on what arrives to each country in Latin America, that thoroughly dictates the way the music is embraced and the head start it has in each particular nationality. So you will notice, yes, a lot of difference. But in the end, you ask people what they're playing and they will say cumbia.
What has made cumbia so popular among all these different groups of people?
Well, for one, the rhythmic structure is very simple. It's not a complex rhythm. It's a simple beat, so it can be imitated easily, and then it can also be tweaked slightly to sound closer to something that appeals to the national taste. As in Peru, they had a local genre called the huayno, and they mixed in the huayno with the cumbia. And what emerged was something we can recognize as cumbia, but with a distinct Peruvian air. In Argentina, it was the same thing. Chile, the same thing. I mean, in every single place, it was nationalized. It was integrated to the national repertoire, tweaking the music a little bit. Vamos bailando.
Among all these cultures who embrace cumbia, is there a sense of connection? Do they feel connected by the fact that they are all listening to cumbia?
When you see the way cumbia has been developed in each of these nationalities, each country, the one common trait is that cumbia is the music of the underdog. It's the music of the working classes. So it's a music that comes from the bottom of the social ladder and slowly but surely creeps up in every single country. Cumbia is now accepted by the middle and upper classes in pretty much all over Latin America. In Argentina, in Chile, in Peru, Colombia, certainly Mexico. So it's a thing that definitely has social mobility.
Is there any sense of rivalry among different nations about who has the better cumbia?
Not really. It incorporates so many iterations, so many changes, that after a while it becomes senseless to argue for a sense of a purity. And in fact, the beauty of cumbia is that it changes, and it changes according to a contemporary sensibility. And that makes it very viable as a cultural product.